This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour of Brock and Salk is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Yeah, I do love Daniel Jeremiah. He's one of my favorites. I'd say of all the people you've introduced me to over the years, like guests that I didn't really know who they were when you said, hey, we should have them on, and then I've kind of come to find out, Daniel Jeremiah and Joel Klatt are like the two guys that I had no expectation for that I've fallen head over heels for.
Yeah, and you would gladly replace me with.
I didn't say that.
No, I think there's. I don't think there's a ton of them.
But gladly. Well, I'm not looking to replace you. With
no,
them,
not necessarily.
But like if you left, correct, they'd be two people I'd reach out to.
No question.
Absolutely.
Right at the top of the list.
100%. Yeah. Yes. If you decided you were done with it, like I'm out.
Which I'm getting close to.
I'm done.
Yes. After your little antics yesterday, right, of walking off the set and everything else. Yes.
If you were to do that, yes, I would say those would be my first two calls.
Molly did ask me at dinner last night. We had a great time.
She's no.
How are you and Mike doing?
No, she did?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Just my check-ins. I said, oh, we're doing pretty good.
Okay, good.
Actually, now, the healthy thing is when Mike's in a mood, which isn't very often, we now, as a family, can all tell him.
Yeah.
Like Lydia, Howdy, Kyle, we've all got enough relationships.
The problem is when Kyle wasn't here, Ashley had to tell me, and
right,
she wasn't ready.
She couldn't do that.
She wasn't ready to tell me that I was in a really bad mood. That was a tough day. All right, let's get Daniel Jeremiah here from NFL Network, and he's calling the Chargers, Seahawks game on the Chargers side this weekend. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just want to know if Brock, if we can maybe orchestrate like a wife swap at halftime, just kind of just switch broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's your play-by-play?
I got Matt Money Smith.
Oh, Matt Money. And then you could pop over with Menifee. Yeah.
Matt Money Smith is as instrumental in me getting into this business as anybody.
Oh, wow.
When I lived in L.A., I used to listen to Kevin and Bean every morning, and he was doing sports for Kevin and Bean. We had a mutual friend, and when I decided to quit my job and get into sports radio, they hooked me up with his number, and I ended up spending, I don't know, he took a half hour, 45 minutes on the phone with me.
Sheesh.
Spent a whole bunch of time talking to me about the business and getting into it. He was awesome to me. He's a great dude.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
See, and then, Brock, when you come over and switch with me, you know, you can take all the makeup off and just get comfortable.
True.
Just settle in.
Oh, awesome. Well, what do you expect tomorrow? Are these Chargers pretty legit, Daniel?
Yeah, they're good, man. They've got a lot of depth. That's one thing that jumps out to you when you go out there to practice and watch them, and you see, you know, to me, you look at the fourth and fifth corners, you know, really there's some intriguing guys, big, long, athletic dudes. I know a lot of people, you know, when the Verrett injury happened, like, oh boy, the Chargers, here we go again. But yeah, you know, you're around that team. They're pretty good at that position. The two areas, I would say probably a couple areas of concern. They didn't stop the run real well early last week against David Johnson, and that's been kind of their bugaboo last year, one of the best pass defenses in the league, but run defense is a little bit of a question mark. So that would be a little bit of a concern. And then trying to sort out the backup quarterback position is another area. You know, fortunately for the Chargers, Philip Rivers, I don't think he's missed a game since Brock was playing junior high football. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
When it's all said and done, how do you think we'll remember Philip Rivers?
Well, I mean, I think, look, he's just pursuing the trophy. You know, if he could get one Super Bowl, I mean, I think he would be properly appreciated. If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, I think he'll go down as one of the more underappreciated great quarterbacks we've seen. I mean, he's played at a high level for a very long time, and he's made everybody else around him better. No matter what he's had, he's made that group better than they were. So, you know, I think he's, you know, you look at that class with Eli and Ben, and you tell me you got to go win a game tomorrow with one of the three and just take away everything else. You know, supporting cast is all equal. I would take Philip, but I know a lot of people would disagree with that because the other guy's got trophies.
Yeah. Speaking of trophies, Daniel Jeremiah here with us from the NFL Network. You'll catch him doing the Chargers broadcast this weekend. Speaking of trophies, I heard a little story. Got a little friend on the staff down at Texas A&M, and first of all, you went down there and spoke to the team, I understand, correct?
Correct. And then, I'm nervous now.
No, I heard a little story about some QB that kept texting you when you were on a staff somewhere saying, you better draft me. You better draft me because I'm going to win a Super Bowl. You better draft me because I'm going to win a Super Bowl. You better draft me because I'm going to win a Super Bowl. And then you all didn't draft him, and he ended up winning a Super Bowl elsewhere. Is that true?
Yeah, there's a true story there. I always like telling that to teams when I go visit with these colleges. about, I always, the message is always, hey, you know, the great players are just a little bit different. You know, they do a little bit more, they do a little bit extra. And that was a story about Russell Wilson at the Senior Bowl asking for my phone number, which is the only time that's ever happened as a scout, and then texting me throughout the entire spring all the way up to the draft, the same message, you know, draft me and we'll win Super Bowls, plural. He was different. And obviously he went on to win a Super Bowl. We screwed up. We should have taken him around earlier than we were planning on. Seattle took him right before us there in Philadelphia. But I always like to tell the story now, is that forever this story did not have a happy ending for Philadelphia Eagles fans. But after this last year, the consolation prize after not getting Russell Wilson was last year's Super Bowl MVP and Nick Foles. So it has a little bit happier ending now than it did previously.
True. And that's funny. Philadelphia and Seattle kind of linked with a couple guys. One of them holding out now in Earl Thomas here in Seattle. Because wasn't there something, were they interested in, or Seattle was really worried that Philly was going to draft Earl Thomas right before they ended up taking him? Were you guys close to taking Earl back then? And so, were you close to taking Russ?
That was a year that I was out. That was right before I got to the Eagles. So I was actually working that, draft for ESPN News, because who doesn't tune into ESPN News for their draft coverage, when it's going on? And I'm on there. I think it was with Eric Allen. The Eagles were coming up, and I remember saying, like, this is, oh, just turning the card. This is Earl Thomas. This is, oh, obviously. And I think it was Brandon Graham, I think, they ended up picking in that draft.
Yep, that's exactly who it was.
Again, you know, probably feel a little bit better about that after he gets the sack to secure the Super Bowl last year. But, man, Earl Thomas, I just thought that was a perfect player for the Eagles at that time.
So you think Russell would have been, you guys, had Seattle not taken him, you think Russell would have been the next
pick? Oh, we would have taken him. We would have taken him.
Hmm. Amazing. Daniel Jeremiah joining us here on 710 ESPN Seattle. What do you expect from Russell this year? His cast of characters a little bit different around him. You got a new offensive coordinator. I think more is being expected of him, even though they expect to run the ball more. Like, what kind of year do you think he'll have?
I think he's going to have a darn good year. I mean, he's one of those guys. We always talk about it on our podcast with Bucky Brooks, and we always use the phrase quarterbacks. You can really divide them into two categories, either trucks or their trailers. Either the truck and they pull the team behind them, or they're a trailer and they're totally dependent on the supporting cast. And to me, Russell Wilson is absolutely a truck. He pulls everybody else behind him. You know, I do feel good about the left side of their line, the right side of the line. It gets me a little worried. They've made an investment here, you know, in the run game when you get Penny back healthy. Hopefully they can take a little bit of pressure off him. But he's, you know, Aaron Rodgers is probably support staff proof. He just makes everybody better. And, man, Russell Wilson's getting close to being in that department where you worry a little bit less about what's around him just because he's so dang good.
You got a feel, Daniel, for the support staff at the receiver position you expect to see with the Seahawks around Russell this year?
Yeah, you know, I'm anxious to see some of these young guys who can step up out of that group. You know, Tyler Lockett, you know what you're getting there. He's a really clean route runner. He's explosive. I think he's got a chance to have a really good year. And then you start getting into the, you know, bringing over Jerron Brown, see what he can do. But I'm anxious to see these guys up close in person. I don't know what you've seen out there at practice or watching this team. I actually just wrote a little nugget down on this kid, David Moore, from East Central Oklahoma, who kind of flashed a little bit when I watched their tape of their preseason game last week. So maybe there's somebody that kind of emerges out of that pile of young guys. You know, Stringfellow's a big kid. I don't think he can really run, but he's a big physical guy who can kind of play above the rim. So who's going to kind of emerge out of that pack? I'm anxious to see.
Yeah, Stringfellow and Marshall being out at practice every day, getting a lot of run with Russell with the ones. And I would not have thought Brandon, I don't know why, just the bias or, you know, just kind of the age and the twitch may be gone. But, yeah, you'll see. Number one, he is in impeccable shape. And number two, tomorrow night, Daniel, he's going to get a lot of time with Mr. Wilson. And that could be one unique combination. If they, you know, and something from a size perspective, he's not had a wide receiver.
No question. If you get, I mean, he's going in what, his 12th or 13th year or something like that. So if you get the Brandon Marshall of, you know, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, you got an elite player. And that's one of the reasons I'm just kind of anxious to see can he return and be that guy. So promising reports that you're giving me there, I'm anxious to get out there and see it for myself out here this weekend and see if I see that kid I scouted at Central Florida many moons ago.
I'm a little. I've had a kind of a weird maybe change over the last few years on how I view rookies. It was a few years ago the Seahawks had this draft class that was supposed to be awesome.
Odhiambo, Vanette, Darbo, Delano Hill, loaded up with all of these picks. What, 13 or 14?
Those are two different. Those are two different years, right? But it was the year with CJ Procise and Nick Vanette and Odhiambo. Those other guys were the next year, I think. Right? Weren't they rookies last year? Yeah, they were. Anyway, whatever. It was supposed to be this great draft
Dude,
class.
Don't and test your memory.
I'm right about this and you're wrong. Everybody was super excited about what they were going to do with Vanette and Procise and how these guys are immediately going to come in and do what they, you know, make the team better. And it turned out that rookies really don't seem to contribute that much their that season. And some of them have gone on to be really good players or whatever. But as I watch this Seahawks class now, it looks like a great rookie class already. I mean, Rashim Green had a sack and a half in his first preseason game. And, you know, I love Penny. I think he's going to be a star. Like, they've all sort of emerged quick. Trey Flowers may end up converting from safety to corner and starting within the first half of the year. How much can an NFL team count on a rookie class?
Well, I mean, look, the way it is now, you almost have to, you know, with the parity in the league and the way that the system is set up, you need a couple of those guys to come and contribute right away. So, I think there's a lot of people, when you draft a guy in the first three rounds, you're expecting to get, you know, some kind of a contribution. If you draft him in the first round, most teams expecting that guy to start right away. But when I watch this group and watch them, especially on defense, and watch them fly around and Shaquem Griffin running around making all kind of plays. And then we saw when you get a healthy version of Rashim Green, he would have been a first-round pick. If he'd have been healthy all through his time at USC, he's the first guy off the bus. I know that. He is beautiful.
We barely talked about him. Seriously, after this draft, we talked forever about Penny and forever, obviously, about Shaquem Green. And we talked about Will Disley. We talked about the punter. We talked about everybody except for Rashim Green, and all of a sudden he looks like he might be the best pick in the class.
Well, he was a five-star kid coming out of high school. Everybody wanted him. He's got ridiculously long arms. He's explosive. He had an ankle injury that he kind of battled during his time there at SC, but you saw glimpses of it, of what he could do when he was fully healthy. And obviously Pete Carroll, I'm sure through some connections there, felt comfortable that that was what he was going to get. And man, just one preseason game, take it for what it's worth, but he looked pretty darn good.
You got a feel for this team, and I know you'll get a better feel when you see him up close and broadcast and watch them all. But right now, you got a feel for a win total for the Seahawks team in 2018?
You know, it's funny. I've been kind of harsh on the team based off of the offseason, which the offseason is based on paper. And you kind of looked at them on paper, and, man, this doesn't look like the same Seahawks team. And I'm saying, okay, this might be a six-win team. And then you kind of flip on the tape, and I see, gosh, I don't know, these guys are flying around. I think I might be a little bit low on this group. To me, it's going to be a challenge just within that division. It's going to be really, really good. But I'd say if I had to put a number on it right now, I'd probably put it at, you know, eight and a half maybe. I'll have hopefully a better feel after you get a chance to see him live in person.
It is interesting the way that seems to be a lot of the national feeling on the Seahawks. Like, they don't look very good. Wait a minute. These players actually might be pretty good, and they play a little bit more like a team. And, you know, just because we don't know everybody's name, I don't know, once you know the name in the NFL, generally the player's best years behind them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You can look at all these teams on paper, but now we're on grass, and that's where it gets a little bit different. So we'll see. We'll see how it all comes together. I do know one thing. Getting Earl Thomas back makes it look a little bit different.
I don't know if that's happening. Breath DJ. On that one. when you look at the last thing for me, and then we'll let you go. I know you got to get ready for tomorrow and all that. But when you look at the NFL this year, where do you think the game is going right now? Offensively, defensively, where is the game within a game being played as we start to move forward here in the NFL?
Well, I'm kind of fascinated by it just because I've seen so many. When you're watching tape around the preseason, you see a lot of these college safeties that are being converted to linebacker. That the Chargers actually have one of them, Kaiser White, who's made that transition. And if you just can't play with a slow linebacker anymore. You can't play with a downhill linebacker. It's a dinosaur. So you're almost just seeing all these hybrids. That's everywhere. It reminds me a little bit of the NBA where you're just trying to get a bunch of 6'6" long guys that can defend and shoot the three. It's just like everything's kind of morphing. Positions are going to kind of go away. You're just throwing as many athletes out there in that 6'2", 215, 220-pound range just to match up with what you're seeing with these offenses.
Interesting. Awesome stuff, man. Always love getting a chance to catch up with you, and I know Brock will get a chance to see you tomorrow in person. So thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, boys. Have a good one.
All right, there you go. There's Daniel Jeremiah, of course, NFL Network, and one of our favorites here on this show for sure. Joining us there in the Venue Kings Hotline.
Yeah, I think whether it's Chris Peterson or DJ or some of the different guys we've put in, Mike Tirico, into our list, I usually judge it by how much I'm writing down while they're talking, and there's a bunch of it there, and probably three things in particular. Number one, the difference between tape and paper. And when you put on the tape, you realize you still have a lot of Pro Bowlers.
Would you say that the difference between tape and paper is biggest in the NFL? Because I would. The difference between tape and paper in baseball is generally not that big. Like, yeah, this guy's a 350 hitter, he should hit 350. This guy's a 220 hitter, he should generally hit 220.
Yeah.
That's not to say there won't be years where things work out a little funky, but for the most part, baseball is based on paper.
Yes.
Like, the game is based, you almost don't even really need to play it. You just sort of, you know, work out a bunch of projections, and this is what should happen in every game, and occasionally there are surprises. Basketball, you just sit around and wait for LeBron and the best players to win.
Yeah, there's just a couple guys that make such an overwhelming
difference.
But
football, the difference between paper and film, I think, is night and day most of the
time. Well, and you bring it up all the time, and right, I was actually texting with Bo from L.A. yesterday, and I said, well, you know, Salk always makes that point about once you know a guy in the NFL – you know, it's hard for them to stay at that level typically, you know, once they get paid, whether for whatever reason, you know, that their bodies start to break down, they start to shut it down a little bit, whatever it is, they get their money and it's just a very different animal. But this team on tape still has a lot of Pro Bowlers and the envy of a bunch of other organizations.
And the
Bobby
complimentary
and KJ
players
and Doug
fast.
And Dwayne and Russell are all Pro Bowl players. I mean, you still have five. Yeah, you lost five or six. You know, we'll see if and when and where Earl ever ends up. But, you know, you've got a bunch of Pro Bowlers. That's, I think, number one. Number two, that Russell story is just awesome. Right? So he shares that down at A&M, and I was curious if he would do it here. And that is that Russell at the Senior Bowl is the first player and the only player that he ever had as a scout that wanted his number. Hey, what's your number? What's my number? What's your number? No. What's your deal? And then texted him and said, hey, you draft me, I'm going to win you a Super Bowl. You draft me, I'm going to win you a Super Bowl. You draft me, I'm going
to
win you.
How many people do you think you've texted that to?
That's a good question.
Now, do you think DJ was the only one, or do you think he found a bunch of different scouts?
Oh,
like, you better draft me.
Oh, absolutely not.
Wasn't it Russell that was wearing, had bought the Seahawks hat or something right before he was drafted here?
Yep.
Wasn't there some weird story about that where he like was on a beach and had a dream and wore
and
a hat?
Pulled out a hat and it was a Seahawks hat.
Yeah, wasn't that it?
But yeah, but there's no question that story there repeated itself in a bunch of spots. You draft me. And I will win, right? You build it, and I will come. And we're going to get it done and win a world championship. And ultimately, he did in Seattle and was one pick away from Andy Reid in Philadelphia, where who knows? He may have been the difference.
I got to play you this Russell cut, by the way. Have you heard this?
Uh-oh.
Kyle sent this over. This is Russell Wilson. He was asked about Earl. But if there's a more Russell Wilson phrase than this one, I would like to know what it is.
Anytime in sports, you know, there's business to it, and there's also, and I think a lot of people forget that. It's, you know, this is our livelihoods and everything else. It's fun, and it is games, but it's not just fun and games, if that makes sense.
Russell Wilson.
I love it.
That is good.
It's fun and it's games, but it's not fun and games.
That is so Russell.
And that kind of makes sense.
It does.
Yes.
But is there anything more Russell than that?
I'm so pumped to be here tonight.
Maybe that's a little bit more Russell.
Yeah.
He goes from that right into the yummy all in his tummy, I think.
Stop. And then the last thing, the third and final point I wanted to make.
Level up.
Was one.
Level up. Level up. Level up.
From a football level perspective, up. And Brady Henderson will attest to this. We were out there watching practice, and I showed Brady my board here that's all ready for the Chargers game. I said, man, you know, one of the biggest differences between my era and this era is look at the size of these linebackers. There are just so very few big, fast linebackers. And in my era, there was, you know, a big boy from the Steelers that weighed 275 pounds, right?
Levon
Kirkland. They were huge, massive dudes. And while you're still looking for Bobby Wagners at 255 that can run 4.4, there just aren't many of them. And the league has said, okay, that's fine. And Chargers right there with the Seahawks. Like, outside of KJ and Bobby, look at the size of the Seahawks linebackers. Look at the size of Shaquem Griffin and Austin Calitro and Emmanuel Beal. And even Mingo has trimmed down like 225
pounds.
They're
just fast.
Yeah, they're just fast.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to have to run, man. You know, this league is going to be 65% pass or whatever it is, or 65% nickel and 60% pass. Like, you got to cover grass and you got to run. And there's more and more college elements that have come into the NFL game. Yeah. And maybe that position, as much as anything, has morphed to smaller.
I think that is cool. And that's sort of where the game may be going. Interesting comparison to the NBA. But what I hear from DJ more than anything else is that focus on what the national pundit who does a flyby, this is what this team looks like on paper, and comes out with 6-10 or 4-12 or God knows what, and what you get when you actually think about what the Seahawks did. There's a difference. There really is. There's a difference between subtract big names, add small names, team gets worse, mm-hmm. and subtract problems, subtract bad personality, subtract issues, add in players that are young and fast and hungry, coach to Pete Carroll's style, and in theory, there should be an advantage there. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be enough to make up the difference. That's what we're going to find out.
Well, I think,
but the idea that this team is just automatically going to regress, I don't think that's true at all. I don't think that makes sense.
I'd point to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia came up a lot in that conversation with Daniel Jeremiah, where he used to work. But I point to them because what happened with Chip Kelly? Talent went out the door. Oh, there goes DeSean Jackson. There goes these names, not Chip's kind of guys. And then they fell off the cliff. But then what happened? Then actually Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman, and Howie never left. He just got demoted, actually brought in some of the other younger pieces, and were right on a bunch of them. And they were right on Carson Wentz. And they were right on their offensive linemen, and they won a Super Bowl. Right, and that's the direction they went. Well, you didn't make a coaching change here. You didn't make a staff change, you know, at the GM management level. You did on your coaching staff. And why can't you be Philadelphia?
Did I read you this quote this morning from Bill Belichick? Quote from Belichick.
Did you read it to me? Yeah. Yes, you did read it. Did you forget that you read it to me?
I knew I read it to Kyle. I wasn't sure whether you were here yet. You were so late, it's hard to remember what happened before you got here and what happened after you got here. So sorry.
Really?
I knew it was around 6:30 or so. I just couldn't remember whether you were here yet or not. Sorry about that.
Silly little man.
Belichick said, "I'm not obligated to have great talent. I'm obligated to put a great team on the field." I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. And whether Pete's using that quote, or whether he and Russell are talking about fun and games, you're not obligated to put great talent out there or big names out there. You're obligated to put a good team out there.
Yes, sir.
And if that's the direction that they're going with this thing, then good for them. All right. Speaking of good teams, maybe great ones, the A's and Astros will battle this weekend. The last time this happened, this show nearly tore itself apart, arguing about where they who we should be rooting for. This show is still texting each other about it.
One person.
Oh, that's just because you and Brock were so dumb and have ruined the Mariners season.
And it's happening again.
All right. We're going to argue about this some more next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, Brock and Salk in this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We do a little open phone lines, as we tend to do, Fridays at 9 o'clock. Howdy's working on a mean game to make fun of me, so there's a lot going on here today. Mm-hmm. Lydia's talking trash. That's right, I got a little something for all you guys. Don't you worry. I got a little something for everybody who wants a piece of me today.
Even the caller?
Sure.
Like, what if a caller
Dude, I went to bed at
8
o'clock last night, so whatever it is, I am as sharp as a tack today.
How is that possible?
What do you mean, how is it possible?
How has
that made you angrier? You got more sleep.
I'm zero
angry.
I
got something for everybody. Oh,
no.
Everybody.
No, it's a good thing, man. Oh, you guys want to come with the king,
you just feel sharp as
Lydia
a tack,
wants
dude.
Me to read these spots?
No, Lydia refuses to say anything and then doesn't understand why I'm not reading the spot when it comes on. I'm ready to go.
I didn't hear you. I wasn't listening.
That's right.
There it is.
I'm so well rested. I'm so far ahead of all you guys today.
You don't need
I don't
any
even
of
need
us.
To listen.
You really don't need any of us.
No.
Why don't you just run?
Why don't you guys all take off? I'm
going to
sit at Lydia's place. I'll run the board.
Perfect.
I'll do it all. I'll answer the callers while talking to the callers. Whatever you need. I went to bed at 8. I feel like a new man.
Okay, brilliant one. You want the A's or Astros?
Is
those
know.
Two get together
I'm
in
not
the Bay
sure.
Area?
I've been
what
thinking
do you
about
want?
This all
what
day.
Do you want?
I don't know. You guys screwed this up last time when you rooted for the A's over the Astros. That was insane.
Yes.
You guys were nuts.
Dumb.
Not everybody. You and Kyle were on the same page.
Are you guys willing to admit
me
now
and Lydia
that you
and Howdy all wanted the A's to knock down the Astros?
If you could do that over again, what would you have rooted for?
Go back in time?
If you could go back in time and we were to have the same conversation, but you know what you know now, would you have still rooted for the A's or would you
probably
have rooted
not.
For the Astros?
Yeah, probably the Astros.
Those two games would have been the difference.
Could not have predicted that over the next 50 games or so, the A's would go like 38-12. I would not have predicted that. I'd have been totally wrong. which is why I projected in baseball.
Is it possible that you caused it?
That is 1,000% not possible.
I think it's possible.
No.
I'm willing to at least allow for the possibility that you guys caused this A's run.
No, that's really stupid of you.
No, I didn't say it's happening. I'm just saying I'm allowing for the possibility. I think it's in the realm of possibility. Lydia, if you could do it over again, would you change your mind?
Well, my whole point at the time was that I wanted this team to go for the division. So mm-hmm. I don't know if I would take back that sentiment. I
mean, you take it back now with 40 to go?
I wanted the Mariners to win as many games as possible.
Like where you're at right now, though. The Mariners have won what they've won. Like, do you wish that Oakland had won fewer games against the Astros there?
So then what is your desire for the outcome of this series this weekend?
I don't know. I want someone to get swept, I think. And I'm not sure it really matters who. I want
well,
someone to
believe.
Get to, I think if you were to put a gun to my head and force me to choose,
well, I would never do that.
I know, but if you were to, Lydia, I know how you operate. You pretend to be all nice, but sneaky, you're going to come up behind me, put a gun to my head, make me choose. If you were to do that, I think I would rather have Houston sweep the A's. But I think the value of either of these two teams at this point getting swept would be important. If Oakland gets swept again, like maybe there's an element, maybe they start to wonder, are we really this good? Like, can you shatter some of the confidence that they've built over the last couple of months? The same as what happened to the Mariners in July and into August, where all of a sudden that confidence just seemed to get like pricking a balloon. Like it just,
no.
it went away all
of
a sudden.
I don't think so.
I think it's possible.
I don't. Not with
their
staff.
I think especially if they get beat up pitching staff wise and that starting pitching, which is kind of flimsy to begin with. Yeah, I think you could get the A's. I think if the A's were to get swept, they might have a little break in confidence. The flip side of that,
if the A's
though,
were, yeah.
If the Astros were to get swept. Yeah, I said if the A's were to get swept, they might lose confidence.
Yes.
If the Astros were to get swept, I don't think it's a confidence issue. I think it's more of a pressure issue. All of a sudden, they get a lot of pressure on them. They are supposedly, and according to Astros rants, the best team in baseball. They are defending champions. They have the best rotation in the game. They've got one of the best lineups in baseball. They've got a decent enough bullpen. They should be the best team in baseball. And now, all of a sudden, if they were to get swept this weekend, they'd find themselves not... I mean, Oakland mm-hmm. would pass them, right, at that point, if Oakland sweeps them?
Yes.
Oakland would actually be ahead of the Astros, and now their backs are against the wall, only they're not quite the same team. They've added that jerk Osuna. Like, there's problems in their club. Like, could it be enough to get them to break? I don't know. Like, I'm not saying it is, but it's at least, like, in the realm of possibility that it could get them to break.
Though, right?
Yeah, they're going to get
Springer and McCullers,
Altuve
but
takes...
I'm not convinced that Altuve is, like, coming back anytime soon,
he's actually ahead. He took BP this week. So
okay,
Altuve, yes.
Hinch has been very, like...
Yep, very coy.
Yeah.
He's coy all the time.
I would say this, though.
He's coquettish.
Some, 50 games later or so, since we had this conversation last time, the same premise is in play. Are you rooting for the wild card or the division?
I don't think right now it's a matter of that. I think you're just rooting for one of these teams to falter, and it doesn't matter who it is.
There's 40 games to go.
I don't care.
That is it now. Do you believe the division is still very much in play between these three teams, or do you believe that the Houston Astros, because of that rotation, like Ryan Roland Smith will tell you, most baseball people will tell you, they are still going to win this division?
Mm.
And what really is in play is this wild card game, you know, this wild card between you and Oakland, who play each other seven more times.
Let's also mention that the Yankees have lost two in a row, and they're only three games ahead of Oakland for that first wild card spot, and you get the Yankees you play the Yankees three times at home later this year.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different
you're five
ways
behind
this could
the Yankees
go. That's why I want somebody to fall out of it to assure yourself a playoff spot. And this has always been what I've thought. I want somebody out of this race so that the Mariners are in the playoffs. And then you can go try to do whatever you're going to do. I want to play with house money.
I want Oakland
That's
to
all
lose.
I want.
I want Oakland to lose all three. If you're asking me which one do you want swept, I want Oakland to lose all three. I want Oakland to lose some of the steam, some
so
of the wind out
where
of
I
their
am.
Sails. Yeah, because I think Oakland is not nearly as complete a team as Houston is. I think they're still excellent. I think their bullpen can be obviously
right.
dominant. But, you know, Mike Leake put him to sleep. The staff did for 12 innings and gave up one run over 21 innings against him. And I would love to see Houston continue to put those guys to sleep and some question in their mind like, oh, that was an amazing 50 games of baseball. But that's right. We got a bunch of guys that hit 220 to 260. And if we're not hitting home runs, you know, our starting rotation is nowhere near what the Astros are. So I think I would
Brock
like to
too.
See that.
I think I would want to see the Athletics swept too because of which team would face adversity better, which I think is the Houston and their fan base in general. I think that they are much more prepared for that.
Yeah.
I think if the A's hit a little rough patch here, that they would go, the wheels might come off.
And you're talking about the defending World Series champions, right? They did that. They accomplished that. And, you know, Springer comes back and Altuve is going to come back and these pieces are going to come back. Just they're 25 men. I think if you asked 100 baseball people in the know, hey, you know, Altuve, Springer back in the fold, which of these three teams do you want?
All right, of course.
They would all take Houston.
So basically, this is what we were saying a couple months ago, except you guys decided to cause Oakland to get better by rooting
for the Mariners. But at that time, you know, the Mariners, I think, were still in play for the division.
Yeah, but you guys are being ridiculous. We got some texts here. 710-710. Sure. I agree with Salk for once. This is all your fault, Lydia, Howdy, and Brock. Mm-hmm. Now look at the A's. Look what you've done.
Right.
See? A lot of people agree with me on this one. You guys are very much at fault for what's happened here. In the meantime, Jerry DePoto said something yesterday that I'm still not buying. I like DePoto a lot, as you know. I wanted him extended. I think he's done a great job constructing this roster. I don't understand this Ben Gamel thing. I understood at the beginning what they were trying to do. Okay, we want defense, this, that, and the other. Okay, fine. But at this point, I think it's become laughable, the idea that you'd be better off having Heredia in your 25-man roster instead of Ben Gamel. DePoto on yesterday with Danny David Moore said this.
Ben will factor in again very quickly. We can only carry so many of them on the roster. And, you know, at some point we will be looking at Ben again pretty quickly.
Yeah, good. I hope it's today.
Guillermo gives you an opportunity against right-hand pitching, or just left-hand pitching. It hasn't been as good this year as it has historically been.
I got to pause him there. First of all, he hasn't given you a chance against left-handed pitching. He hasn't really given you a chance against anybody. He just hasn't hit. Also, you've got Cameron Maben now. Like, I understood that argument throughout the year. Like, of course, yeah, you're platooning Gamel and Heredia, and, you know, you don't see as many lefties as you do righties, but when you see the lefties, Heredia is like, yeah. I 100% understand the idea of why Heredia exists.
You don't like his 566 OPS versus lefties this year?
I don't understand why it's relevant once Cameron Maben's on the team.
Right.
What are you doing? Like, I don't see that. You acquired Cameron Maben. You're playing him, it seems like, nearly every game. If you're going to do that, then get Gamel back up here. That lineup has argument has lost its merit once you add Cameron Maben to your roster. So what are you doing? Is there something going on with Gamel that we don't understand? He's down there raking in Triple A.
I think there's
two, three hits every night.
Yeah, I think they love the energy of Guillermo. I think they do. I think they love what he brings to the table. The most amazing thing about Heredia is he can't steal. That is
bizarre.
Think when you look at him and you watch him play defense and the jump and the anticipation and the twitch and everything.
Second fastest guy on the team.
Yes, how does he not steal?
Can't steal.
He can't steal.
Not good at it.
Can't
not his thing.
And right now he can't hit. And God bless him for making one tremendous defensive play to help them salvage that game and get that win and that sweep down in Houston. But yes, this team needs to hit, and they need Ben Gamel to be a part of it.
Well, I'm hoping that starts soon. I would really like to see a few of those moves happen, like, you know, right now. And again, I've said this and I'll continue to say it. I don't see the point of having Romine on the team right now. If you've got D. Gordon, who's capable of playing shortstop in a pinch, there is no reason right now for him to be on. So even if you want to keep Guillermo, fine. There's still no reason not to have Ben Gamel up and give your manager an option, another pinch hitting option late in games with some ability to do some flexible things. I know it'll all work itself out here in 12, 13 days once we get to September 1st. But for now, I would sure like to
you
see
sure
a couple of those
moves
done.
You sure said a lot. I know I've said this.
Well,
are you trying
myself.
To tell yourself that? So you can remember, I know I've said this, that positive thought train.
I just don't remember whether I said it last week or last year. When are we doing this? What time, Howdy? What time are we playing this
He's
game?
Working. He's working.
He's working on it.
Oh, we're doing it in the 9 a.m. hour. I'll tell you that.
We have open phone lines. We don't have time for that in the 9 a.m. hour. We're very busy. No, we don't have that kind of time. Maybe we'll get to it next week. Who knows? Good news, bad news next in Brock and Saul.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Saul.
All right, let's do the news before we get you guys on the horn. I'll open up the lines even right now, 206-421-3776. When you're ready, open phone lines, any point you've been trying to make, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, whatever it is. You just let us know what you want to say today, and we're going to let you guys carry this 9 o'clock hour. In the meantime, what's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
CJ Procise, wait for it. He practiced yesterday, and he could, in fact, actually, maybe, but probably not play tomorrow.
Poor guy.
You got to get through walkthrough. You got to get through the plane trip.
Hold
you got to get through some different.
Those plane seats are terrible for us kids.
You got some hurdles to jump over. I felt really bad for CJ last week. I really did last Thursday night because he was there through OTAs and mini camps. He was excellent the first couple weeks of training camp. There was no sign that he had a hip flexor issue. the day before the game that was going to knock him out of it. And he had to answer to that. And everyone's like, oh, you got to be kidding. So, CJ, blow it up tomorrow, man. Take a little check down from Magoo or Davis or, heck, maybe even Russell in the two-minute drill. Break a tackle. Take it 70 yards and remind all of us the pretty elite talent you do have.
What do you think it is? I mean, obviously, yeah, it's good news. I do want to see him out there. I do think he's talented. If for no other reason than maybe you can trade him. But what do you think it is? You think it's just bad luck?
It's what I told you and Kyle before the show that I joined Bob and Tom yesterday. Pain tolerance is different. Cody Pickett played with a grade 3 AC sprain. I couldn't play with a grade 2.
Come on. Last year, he came in for two plays, and he tore something.
Yeah, his ankle got all bent. His leg went sideways.
Come on. He couldn't have played after that.
No.
That's not a toughness issue.
No, but hip flexors and hamstring pulls and quad this and some of the different stuff. Yeah, those are, you know, track athletes. They feel everything. And, you know, everyone is wired differently from a pain tolerance situation.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Des Bryant says he's optimistic he'll sign with the Browns.
No news. Who cares about Des Bryant? Is that guy even good anymore? They're not good.
Dude, they're going to have Jarvis Landry, Des Bryant, and Josh Gordon.
And that dude
Hugh
that
Jackson
loves,
cannot handle that.
And that other dude that
Jarvis
loves
Landry
weed, right?
Is Callaway? Jarvis Landry is really annoying on Hard Rock.
Just hold on, Kyle.
Bless him. You're going to bless him. Everybody bless him. Kyle, what do you say? I just say bless him. I say bless him over and over. Bless him. Bless him. Shut up. Freaking annoying.
No news.
That Kyle, guy's annoying.
No news. Kyle, what did you say about Callaway? What was his excuse for marijuana?
Oh, the officer's like, it smells like weed smoke in here. And then he tells the GM and head coach, who found out on TV that his car had been shipped up from Florida 5 days ago. And that, in fact, that's why it still smelled, because some buddies had been using it in Florida over a week ago.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
And they believed it.
Sure, that makes sense. I'll buy that. Still not as annoying as Jarvis Landry.
Bless him.
Bless him.
You got bless him. Everybody bless him. God, stop.
Oh. Next.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Marlins pitcher Jose Urrea was suspended 6 games for plunking Ronald Acuna Jr. Also, other suspension news, Yasiel Puig suspended 2 games beginning tonight.
Oh, that's too bad. So we'll get a chance to see him. Everybody who was going to the game was hoping to see Yasiel Puig.
No, your friend.
No, that's a good thing. All good news there. That's probably how that should have gone down. No reason to throw somebody like that. I, as you know, I am all for brushing people back. I'm all for plunking a guy for a specific reason, but not just because he's been hot in general. Mm-hmm. If he's been hot against you for years and years and he's too comfortable, then by all means, brush him back. Mm-hmm. If he's been a jerk to your team in some way, or, you know, like Valbuena bat tossing on little doubles down the line and stuff, yeah, by all means, put one in his lower back. But what they did the other day, I thought that was shameful.
I would agree. And a 6-game for a starting pitcher means you miss a start in the rotation. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Text
good
message.
News, bad news.
Salk, I agree. A shot Hard Knocks off when Landry starts talking. He tries to explain what bless him means.
Right.
You should find that clip, Kyle. He tries to explain why he says
it again.
It's so annoying. His explanation makes even less sense than the fact that he says it.
He just says bless him a lot.
Yes.
Bless him. Bless him.
So annoying.
Bless him.
If he makes a play, bless him. Bless him.
Bless him.
Hey, bless him. And now his teammates have started to say it to him. Hey, bless him.
Oh, God, it's aggravating.
Is he, like, trying to be also the motivational, like, speaker of the show?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody can be Game Day Ross.
But unfortunately,
you know?
He has to.
Who can last
to.
The longest?
Oh, yeah. Bless him.
Can you truly endure that much pain?
Great. Bless him.
Because everybody out there hurting.
Especially CJ Prosser.
Who the last one to give up?
Bless him.
It's going to be CJ.
It's got to be Jarvis because it's not going to be Hugh Jackson.
Hey, hey, hey. Game Day Rawls last night. You see him?
No. How'd he do?
Game Day Rawls.
Is there a game last night?
Yeah. Knock it off.
Sorry.
Game Day Rawls had 8 carries last night. How many yards he rushed for?
He had eight carries?
He had 8 carries for the Jets last night. How many yards he rushed for?
28.
You say 28, you say 20.
20.
Under?
7.
Close.
4.
12.
8 for 12?
8 for 12.
Yeah, they don't have much of a line.
No.
What's he supposed to do?
Game Day Rawls.
Game Day Rawls.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Notre Dame is playing at Yankee Stadium this fall, and they're wearing full pinstripe
pants
and other pinstripe accents.
Were hideous.
Axis of evil, man.
That is hideous.
There is an axis of evil.
Bad news on that uniform. Ugly.
I actually don't think the uniform.
UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly.
Who I mean, shouldn't Duke basketball get in on this so we can just have every bandwagon group on the planet? Here's what we'll do. We'll get them all together. We'll get the Yankees fans in Yankee Stadium along with the Duke fans, the Notre Dame football fans, and then we'll just take all of Tiger Woods' galleries and bring them in.
Cute.
And we'll just have the big bandwagon. So, like, Notre Dame could wear their gold helmets. They could wear red polo shirts.
Sideline reporter wearing a Raiders uniform for the brand of the Raiders. Okay, Wolf down there with the brand. With the Raiders
Notre Dame
brand.
Really undersold it too. They were like two legendary franchises. One God. Night.
Bah. Vomit. Gag.
I'd love to send
Gross.
You to that game, Salt.
Notre Dame in the Bronx wearing pinstripes.
What I would give to have you in a Notre Dame hat.
Disgusting.
A Yankee starter's jacket.
The grossest of gross. That is the grossest of gross.
You should buy some of those outfits. If you lose a bet, that should be your punishment.
I hate Notre Dame. I hate the Yankees. Putting them together, man, is disgusting.
What would it cost to put you in pinstripe pants? A Yankee starter jacket and a Notre Dame cap.
What would it cost?
Yeah, what would it cost?
Well, are you going to raise money to give to me, or is it going to charity?
GoFundMe.
It's going to me, or is it going to charity? If it's going to charity, I mean, probably not that much. If it's going to me, it would take a lot, I think, probably. Yeah. All right. Hey, 206-421-3776. That was a lot of fun. That's good news, bad news, no news. I should remember you can listen to the show here in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Open phone lines here coming up at 9 o'clock. So we're coming up next. 206-421-3776. The top five board is out with Kendall and Jesse and Josh and Kelly and Roger all in the top five. If you are looking to get in the top five and you've got something to say on any subject that you think is important, anything that's on your mind, well, bless you. You might as well come on here and talk to us here on Brock and Salk next.